My name is Benjamin Davis. I'm a senior economist with the Agricultural Development Economics Division here at FAO. The Protection to Production Project is a joint effort of FAO with UNICEF and with governments of seven countries of sub-Saharan Africa. The idea behind the project is to build evidence, to gather evidence on the linkages between social protection and agriculture and rural development, focusing primarily on the household productive activities of beneficiaries who are receiving different kinds of social protection in the region, their livelihoods, in essence. The seven programs that we're working with are cash transfer programs. And so these are cash transfer programs that have originated in the social sector, in most cases with the goal of reducing the vulnerability and providing support to households, in large part with orphans and vulnerable children, or without much available labor at the house, in order for them to reduce vulnerability and reduce their poverty level. For the most part, these households are rural. Most of them are smallholder farmers, and most of them are dependent on their own devices in order to get ahead and to survive and to achieve their own food security. Cash transfer programs, because they represent a regular and predictable source of support to these families, in general, every other month they get a specified amount, they serve as a kind of insurance, providing some liquidity to the households. So the households inevitably end up using it for their agricultural production as well. In general, these kinds of households, the first line of defense in terms of dealing with risk and with vulnerability are informal safety nets. So those are the community social networks that exist in most African communities where people depend on their neighbors and their family. And a lot of these networks have come under stress in recent decades, one because of the HIV pandemic, also because of economic modernization and population increase and what have you. And so these programs have also been shown through our project to actually help kind of strengthen these informal safety nets, which are kind of the first line of defense for these households.
Could you summarize the key issues?
In recent years, social protection has taken on an increasingly large role in the fight against poverty, not only in sub-Saharan Africa, but in Latin America and other parts of the world. And so the idea behind our project is to show that, in fact, there are very strong linkages between social protection with agricultural policy towards smallholders, which comes from the agricultural ministries. And in general, even though they often cover the same geographical space, they often don't interact at all. So what FAO brings to this partnership is a focus on the interface between social protection, agricultural policy, and food security, which typically has been excluded from most of the discussion and the planning and the policymaking that's been going on in terms of social protection in the region.
I'm Jenny Blonsky. I'm the social protection specialist for UNICEF in New York.
What has UNICEF gained from the P2P programs?
I think there's probably a couple things that we've gained from participation in this project. UNICEF obviously has a mandate around children, and understanding social protection, I think it's very important to understand the impacts of social protection not only on kids directly in terms of education, health, etc., but also really understanding that kids' well-being is very interlinked with how their households and communities are doing. So I think that's one thing. The second thing is much more from a kind of political perspective. UNICEF is very engaged with national policymakers in trying to support scale-up of social protection systems, including cash transfers. In that whole discussion, there are a lot of issues around political economy. The Ministry of Social Welfare may be very convinced about this program and its impacts, but you still have to convince the Ministry of Finance that they should also be putting money into this program, especially when you start talking about it at a larger scale. And inevitably, they do ask questions about what are the economic impacts of these programs. It's all nice and good that you have improved education and health outcomes, but what are the returns to investing in this project? What are the larger economic impacts? We're concerned about economic growth. And that's how I think the other aspect about P2P is it helps us answer some of those questions. I think it's a very concrete example of collaboration across agencies to solve particular problems that national governments are challenged by.
My name is Lawrence Oforiadu, and I work with the Department of Social Welfare back in Ghana, and also the National Coordinator for the Livelihood Empowerment Against Poverty Program. Any country that initiates cash transfer program, there is this conception that it is a handout and that beneficiaries should rather be engaged in some other productive activities. But then if you look at the kind of households that we do have, you know, they do not have access to sufficient land, they are labor constrained and things like that, you realize that you need to have some evidence to prove in some other areas that if you're able to introduce productive activities, people under social cash transfer could take advantage of these innovations. So that is why we have always been clamoring for evidence. And, you know, basically our households are agricultural households. They live in the remote rural areas. So they started investing in their farms, petty trading, always in the agricultural sector and things like that. And we have had evidence to prove that even if by default, the beneficiaries have started engaging in some other productive activities because of the uncertainty of the payment. But we believe that if the payments are regular, they can predict how to spend the monies, and they don't want to remain in that situation forever, will engage in some other productive activities. And this is the message we are going to carry through. Our governments have always been promoting production, particularly in the agricultural sector. And you realize that normally it is the middle class and the well-to-do who have taken advantage of these campaigns and efforts. Even look at fertilizer subsidies. Most of the people at the bottom quintile do not actually benefit from these subsidies. They end up in the hands of the big-time farmers. And therefore, you realize that the poor continue to be subsistence. And, you know, introducing P2P as a policy will try to bring people in the bottom quintile also to continue with the productive activities and enhance our agricultural production. In Ghana, for instance, we have what we call complementary programs. We believe that the cash transfer alone will never move people out of extreme poverty. No. And no single social protection intervention can adequately move people out of extreme poverty unless it's combined with other interventions like cash transfer and production activities, like cash transfer and health interventions, like cash transfer and education in the long run. But the cash transfer, for what it does, is for short to medium term. But there is that need for preparation for people to engage in productive activities and wean themselves off extreme poverty. And that's why the name LEAP is for us in Ghana. The cash transfer is just a platform for them to leap out of extreme poverty and engage in productive activities.
My name is Pamela Pizzarni. I work for FAO's Investment Center in the Africa Service. And LEAP is the flagship cash transfer program in Ghana. I also lived and worked in Ghana for FAO for 5 years, so I actually know Ghana very well. And Ghana was one of our 7 countries. And my role and our sort of pillar in the project is the qualitative research. Qualitative research means doing focus group discussions, working with communities and identifying key informant interviews. We actually do household case studies where we go to the households, we spend time with them, we talk with them, asking questions around areas of inquiry, around household dynamics and decisions, and decision-making for households who are the beneficiaries of the cash transfer program. So we're asking questions like, how do they make decisions about that money? Who's making those decisions? How has that extra injection of the cash transfer changed the way they are using their household expenses, their economy? We also are looking at the local economy, and so we're looking at the wider community where there are beneficiaries and the LEAP program is operating, and we're saying, how is this affecting the markets, the labor dynamics and dimensions, the input and the output of goods and services and trade within that local community? And we're very much in the communities themselves. To me, one of the more interesting findings that are coming out quite strongly about the LEAP that I think has great potential for transformation is the effects on social networks. And that is actually our third area of inquiry. And how the cash transfer is enabling these very, 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 the poorest of the poor, and I mean the poorest of the poor households, re-engage and re-enter into mostly informal social networks in the community. And if you can picture somewhere in Ghana, whether it's in the northern regions, very remote, these social networks are critical for resilience and risk sharing, for sharing of information, for asking for help, for developing a small little income generating activities. we're seeing they're actually building a little bit of self-confidence. They say now we can mingle with other people. We're more accepted. They call us when there are social family events because they can contribute more. They're actually, even if it's a very modest sum, they are seen and perceived to be a little more self-reliant. So this is a whole cycle, positive cycle, where we see the possibilities for longer term transformation and agency. Some of the constraints are the potential for dependency or just throwing money out there and what is it really doing. Now, I feel that if we can combine and have a complementarity between social protection and cash transfer programs in particular with other sort of agricultural rural development programs and strategies in the same communities, try to build those linkages and complementarity and access to the different kinds of services, including health and education. Those services need to be there. Then these households and these kinds of opportunities, along with the cash transfer, could catalyze these households to very gradually climb and then leap out of their poverty.